Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 652. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I was going to make another joke about the Speaker of the House, but it's been 3 weeks in a row, and it's depressing now.
But it's all the Democrats' fault. They made this chaos.
It's all their fault. All their fault.
Earl is here as well.
I would also make a joke about the Speaker of the House, but... yeah, I mean, you know, try again. The old American motto.
And also Jeff has returned as well.
I live.
So you live. Earl lives. Tony and I ran this last week by ourselves, and Tony got to say goodnight for the first time ever, so
I was very excited. I didn't even know what to do. Like Chris is like, say goodnight, Tony. I'm like, what?
It's like, never had this thrown to me before. Just funny.
It's a lot of pressure.
Tony and I have run the show by ourselves before, but I guess I just closed it out.
Yeah. Like, I think you just said goodnight the other times.
I don't know. I've gotten so used to just throwing it to Jeff, and if Jeff's not here, throwing it to Earl, that I was like, Tony, say goodnight. And you're like, I don't know how to do that.
I don't believe in goodnight. It's against my religion.
Do Irish goodbye.
Straight. I should have just said nothing. Like nothing. Just end the podcast with silence.
Wouldn't be the weirdest way to end it before, so... yeah, so glad to have both of you guys back. Earl is all moved in. He has moved all of Brooklyn himself, and he's back and rested. Well, not sure how rested, but enough that he's joined us.
Yes, I got nothing else. I got no TV.
You still can't game. You're still like...
Well, I just used my computer monitor on the floor, kicking it old school. But...
It's the way to do it. I mean, we talked about this last week. It's like the first thing you set up. So, like, if you can.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I set it up for work. I set up the monitor for work, and I'm like, oh, it's already out. So, why the heck not?
For quote unquote work.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
It was a little bit of news. I mean, there might have been more, but I did not keep track of a ton of it. But I think Tony and I did touch on that Activision and Blizzard that closed last week. Activision is now part of Microsoft. Phil Spencer was out there kind of talking. I guess he was on some podcast or something this week, but... saying that he wants to bring back old IP from not just Activision, Blizzard, and but also from, you know, an older Bethesda IP, older id IP, an older you know, Rare and Xbox IP. It has to be a team that is like motivated to work on it. So like they have to kind of like make a pitch and like, this is what we want to do with it. They actually want to do it, not just, you know, like we could work on Spyro, I guess.
So no Conquer.
Probably not.
Nobody wants to work on Conquer. It's sad.
Jeff, you played the Rare Replay, right? Like, did you watch the documentary stuff on Conquer?
Oh, I'm sure I did.
Like it was interesting watching it because like they're, you know, they're interviewing the devs that worked on the game, and like it really does seem like they just, you know, they were in a certain headspace at the time and were like, yeah, this is what we want to do, and they made this kind of like irreverent comedy platformer game that like poached on a pop culture stuff, but they very much felt like hearing them talk about it was like, they would not make that game today. So, and you know, it's been what, 20 years. So,
like, I also, not that you couldn't make that game today, but the game is very much of the time. Like 3D platformers aren't necessarily that popular anymore.
Yeah. I wish Microsoft did have some sort of 3D platformer. Maybe there's one I'm not thinking of. They own like half the industry now, so.
I mean, they own Banjo. They own Conker. They own
Crash and Spyro.
Yeah, but like, make those games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Like, even with, you know, they've had Banjo. They made a Banjo game under the the banner, but it was not the Banjo game that, you know, Jeff wanted, right? And, like, it was good, but
that's going on how many years now? Like over a decade, like
15 years. It's over a 360 game, so.
I think they could do, like, they could have like a flagship platformer, and it would probably make sense to make it Banjo. Although I still, you know, my feelings on this, but they should make video games and put them out.
I agree. They should make video games and put them out.
What a ridiculous requirement! I mean, God, who makes video games?
And
when you have like 500 studios, like. What are they doing? Oh, nothing. We bought them for prestige.
That's what's kind of wild about this, too, though. Like, there's a ton of games that they could release, you know, archival stuff, but what has Activision released, like, in the last 5 years? Like,
well, there's Call of Duty and Call of Duty and Call of Duty. Call of Duty and Call of Duty.
It's true. 5 Call of Duties.
And Diablo.
Yeah, Diablo. That's all they need to release.
And other Diablo, like old Diablo brought back.
And Overwatch, it was called 2, but it was really just more Overwatch. Like that, yeah, like it's and Activision has like an awesome library of old IP. I am not the first person to say this, although I did think of it on my own without seeing it, but make Pitfall into like an Uncharted or Tomb Raider type game.
Why did I think Pitfall already did something like that?
But maybe they did a 3D one on the PlayStation 2, like that era. It was more cartoony. Like Pitfall Harry was not Nathan Drake, and that's fine. I'm fine with that as well. But they did try that, but I guess it didn't stick. But who knows? Because Activision, even when things do stick, like the Tony Hawk remake, they then close that studio or make them a support studio for Call of Duty because Call of Duty.
Well, you know, now Rare can make the next Tony Hawk game.
No.
Jeff. No. Think about it.
I don't think it's going to
be a motion controlled Tony. It'd be like, what was that Tony Hawk game they had for...
Tony Hawk Ride.
Yeah, Ride.
That is downhill shift. The one for the Wii on.
Yep.
Downhill Jam. That was like that wasn't with a skateboard.
No, that was Ride. Jam was the other one, yeah.
Downhill Jam was just like, it was all downhill levels.
Yeah, and you just stepped in right with the Wiimote.
Not terrible.
It was basically old school SSX at that point, right? Like...
Kinda, yeah, and there are levels in Tony Hawk games that are like that, but it's just like, okay, why would you make the whole game? I don't know, but I think that Ride game had a sequel called Shred. Can you imagine? Why did they do that? The first one did not sell.
Oh wow, there is Tony Hawk Shred. And it is bigger air and bigger tricks, and it does have the motion that uses the Tony Hawk Ride skateboard.
But they must have had like a bunch of those skateboards sitting around, and they're like, fuck.
I just think we've stumbled upon Microsoft's grand plan here. I think we know what's going to happen now.
Boxed merchandise. Tony Hawk Shred Ride. Ride Shred.
Bring back the Kinect. Like,
yep.
We really need all of this back again.
And both Bobby Kotick and Phil Spencer were out there saying that they would love to bring Guitar Hero back, which Microsoft now owns Guitar Hero. More plastic instruments. That's all. Like, that's their big plan is boxed merchandise.
I like even owning Guitar Hero is not a big deal. Like,
no, they haven't released one in a decade.
And you have to like license all the music. Like,
yeah,
all you have is a name. That's it. And ancient hardware that isn't compatible with the current console generation.
No, and, like, and it be, well, very much that, because that Guitar Hero Live, which was last gen, like early last gen, so probably close to a decade at this point, they changed the guitar, so it wasn't like, it was neat, but it wasn't the same as like the Rock Band or Guitar Hero original controllers. It's like it wouldn't work with anything today either.
That's like if you like were to give somebody like an Xbox controller that was different. Like, oh, there's only one thumbstick and there's this,
the GameCube controller
here. Like, you can't change a controller once like gaming has used it in a particular way for like a decade. You can't do that. Everyone will hate it.
Yep.
And they pretty much did.
That's why gaming controllers have basically been the same for like the last three console generations. They've added some stuff to them, but they haven't changed like the general position of the buttons or the thumbs. Like everything is where it is. Because yeah, that's expectation.
Sony married, like they added analog sticks to the Super Nintendo controller. And that was it. That's it, right? Like that's what they've done, and that's it. That has been the controller for generation. Even Nintendo is finally like, I guess that's it. This is what we use.
It's like if somebody gave you a laptop, but all of the keys were in different spots.
I don't know how to type.
I can't type anymore. What's Maybe they're even in better spots, but it doesn't matter because we've typed in a particular way since the beginning of typing, and we're stuck.
Yeah, I think that's it for. That's all I saw news wise. You guys want anything?
Yeah, it's a very week. I mean, I've not had my nose to the ground this week, but I don't think anything major came out this week. No major delays or anything. I can't imagine why people were trying to hide from this week.
True.
There was the Paradox news.
Shit. Yeah, I did. Didn't I post that in here? I guess I did not. Yeah, Paradox and Harebrained Studios, which will. I guess we'll get to a little bit of that game, Tony, shortly.
Yes.
But Harebrained recently released the Lamplighters League, which was, you know, in conjunction with Paradox as the publisher. And it seems that they are going their separate ways come January 1st. Harebrained will go on to do their own thing, and Paradox is moving away. So what I had heard with this was that, one, Harebrained did not want to make the Lamplighters League. That was not the game that they are originally. They wanted to make...
You can sell!
They wanted to make Mech Assault 2. If they did this Mech Assault game not too long ago, they wanted to do a sequel to that. But that is a licensed property. Paradox has shifted to internal IP or new creations. And they were like, we don't really want to license that again. So how about you make something new? And they came up with this, which said it seems like they did not want to do either. And that's how we got Lamplighters League. And now that's how we're getting this separation of, you know, pretty good publisher and up until now, pretty good developer, kind of moving on.
I don't know. Paradox has this history with publishing other companies' games that is not good. Like, most of the games are either bad. City Skylines is kind of an aberration. It's like the one partnership that has worked. But they've partnered with lots of studios and then have immediately gone their separate ways. I think that they try to over-involve themselves in the other studios and just result in games that are not particularly good.
So that's a shame.
Yeah.
They're moving on. Harebrained likes working with the FASA properties. You know, they did the Shadowrun stuff. They've done some MechWarrior stuff. in the past. I believe all that stuff's owned by Microsoft, actually. But I'm not saying go and work with Microsoft, but maybe they can find somebody to let them license Shadowrun again or MechWarrior and work with some of that stuff that they seem to really like to do anyway. So, other than that, it's games, and as Earl kind of alluded to, people moving out of the way. Because Spider-Man and Mario kind of took up all the oxygen with their reviews this week.
But it was one more game this week, too.
Oh, was there?
Sonic.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Sonic. I honestly, which is funny because I know that we're going to talk about Sonic.
It just went by so fast. That's all that happened.
Yeah, that came out to okay reviews. Not great reviews, but okay.
It's been worse.
Mario and Spider-Man both coming out to phenomenal reviews. Aggregate,
unsurprisingly.
Wise. Right. I mean, it's Mario. It was going to score well, and Sonic was going to score as Sonic scores. So, even if it was a great game,
I was going to say, I guess you could say unsurprisingly. But I was actually surprised that Mario ended up scoring. I mean, I don't know what it is now, but when I saw it, it was doing better than Spider-Man, which I thought was, because I was like, oh, I thought they'd both be like high 80s, and like they're both at low 90s. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess they're two really great games.
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers Wonder is currently holding a 92 on OpenCritic, and Marvel Spider-Man 2 is holding a 91. So. That's with a lot of reviews against both these big games. So Mario a little bit less than Spider-Man, but yeah. So we have not played Spider-Man or Mario, but Jeff has played some Sonic, I believe.
Yeah, I've played through three or four different zones, so I'm probably almost halfway.
Oh, you think it's that short?
No, I have no idea. Yeah, probably half. It's
I think what six to eight, right? There's normally about 6 to 8 zones.
Yeah, generally. Yeah. That, you know, they're not the 2D Sonics are not like super long games. You'd maybe hope they build it out a little more at this point, but I don't think they did. But yeah, it is. It's 2D Sonic, and it's really well done. I think it's just a really good looking game. Like, I love the graphic style they went with it. You know, trying to like make it look new, and instead of like the Sonic Mania thing, which you know was just
the Genesis. The
Yeah.
This looks like it looks really nice. Like, there's a lot of depth to the backgrounds and. Very colorful. I mean, they've always been very colorful, but very colorful looking.
That's what I love about the series is just like the color palette, just how bright it is. I think I've gone on about that on here before, and yeah, this is like no exception. I love that it got like a new, you know, graphic style. I mean, that's something that's going to be nice about Mario Wonder too. But yeah, this is like, you know, it's Sonic, 2D Sonic. There's not much to say. There's like, I guess the most interesting thing is the bosses are a little more going on to them, like more complex, a little challenging, actually, which I think is welcome. Like, I like it. I've enjoyed all the bosses I've played so far. I guess there's a few that are like, really long, and therefore it makes it like hard, because like, say you're 5 minutes into fighting a boss and you die, you're starting over. I haven't had that happen yet. They've all had just a little bit of challenge to them, and they're all been like pretty creative, like they're all like different. It's not, you know, something I said in a group chat. It's like, these bosses are way better than Mario. A lot of times in the 2D Marios, the bosses aren't very good. You walk in a room, you like win the first time.
Bounce on somebody three times.
Yeah. And there's just nothing to it. And it's not like there's like you're doing anything like insanely complex in this like Sonic, but there's always like something to the boss. It's not just walk in a room, hit him, you know.
Do we know what the bosses are? Do we know what the bosses are in Wonder?
From what I understand, it's Bowser Jr. and Bowser.
Okay. So, I mean, like, well, those fights are generally a little bit better than like when you're fighting the other Koopas, because normally they're just they drop you in a room, right, and you're just bouncing on their head. But like when you're fighting Bowser Jr. and Bowser, they sometimes have different forms that they take. Depends on how Bowser Jr. wants to attack you that time. So they could be interesting.
But yeah, to Jeff's point, they're not necessary. It's not what I would say the franchise is known for. It's a great boss battle.
No.
And just, you know, here in the Sonic Superstars is very, like, varied so far. Like, there's one where you're, like, kind of falling through the air the whole time, and you're having to dodge stuff as you're flying through the air. I think the very first boss keeps, like, shooting these, like, grappling hooks at you, and you gotta keep getting them to aim the grappling hooks a little higher, so then it creates, basically, like, platforms for you to run up. You know, you have to sort of do that three or four times to reach the boss who's up in the air. Like the casino type level, I think it's called Pinball Zone or whatever. Like, there's like this clown, and you have to get him to like flip over, in order to do so, you have to like hit all these switches that are all over the arena. Like, I don't know, there's more going on than that usually means- in even a Sonic game, but especially the 2D Marios. So so far the bosses have been a highlight for me, and just the look of it. But I don't know what else there is to really say. there's like
2D Sonic.
Yeah. There's different bonus stages, and they're all right. And, you know, some of it you've seen before, but I really like it. The thing I would say about it though is like, you know, $60. Seems like a bit much for this.
It's $60.
Yeah. Like,
that's a price point.
Like, it feels like a full game. I mean, I would even argue that you probably shouldn't charge $60 for a 2D Mario, honestly, but maybe I'm crazy. But it's just like, I know I'm gonna be done with this in a couple hours, and it's just like, yeah, you go play through again and whatever, but yeah. Good game. I think it's way overpriced. Like, it should probably be like $30 or 40. Maybe 40 would feel right.
This seems like a little more blown out than Mania, at least visually. But it still feels like like a little bit of a lesser game. I will wonder how Super Mario Wonder turns out. So. Looking forward to that.
You can find out in 90 minutes, or I can find out in 90 minutes.
Yeah, I'm debating. So I have mine ordered. It's supposed to arrive tomorrow, but I'm leaving. So it's like, do I run to Walmart before I leave, and then I'll just return the Amazon one?
I don't
need it, right?
I mean, you could also buy it digitally, like right now, and install it.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, save yourself a trip.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really feel that I need it. Like, it'll be here when I get back, so I'm not gonna play a ton of. I am in an airport for a while, but I'm not gonna play like a ton of games over the weekend while I'm away. So, anyway, Earl will tell us all about it in 90 minutes.
In 90 minutes, are you pizza free?
Is anyone getting Spider-Man in 90 minutes?
I already bought Spider-Man.
Same.
I will not be playing it yet because I'm still playing Assassin's Creed. But
same. Well, not the Assassin's Creed part.
I will be getting Spider-Man, but oh, like that's one. Like, I'm not going to get very far into it, Jeff, before I leave, so I'm not going to buy it till I get back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, Mario, I can take the Switch with me. So that's what I was thinking with that one.
I would want it for the flight, for sure, man.
And I have two long layovers, both going and coming back, so... Anyway, Marvel Spider-Man also reviewing really well. We will have that for next week. But Jeff, you've had a wild ride with Lords of the Fallen. That game came out sometime last week. On Saturday, you tried to return it.
Yeah.
They denied your return because you had played a little too much of it. And you've seemingly turned around. Like, I think you might still be on the, like, it's a little bit unpolished, unfinished in spots, but you've seemingly are enjoying it more now.
I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I think it's it is the most Dark Souls of all Dark Souls copycats. Like, it feels like a Dark Souls game. Like, it's just not borrowing ideas. It, like...
It's just stealing them.
It's just, like, the look of it, like, the weapons, like, the... Everything about it feels like Dark Souls. And, you know, and not Elden Ring, like, but specifically Dark Souls. And, there's a couple new ideas in it. You know, there's, like... The big new idea is that there's two different worlds, like, layered on top of each other, and so, you know, there's, like, the light world and the dark world, you know, essentially, and the dark world's harder, and there's more enemies running around and shit, but what that really amounts to is that when you reach a dead end, like, if you reach a gate, or you reach, like, I don't know, like, you're like walking across a platform and it, like, kind of ends, but you can see, like, there's, like, another platform on the other side. You could hold up your lantern and you'll see the dark world and you'll see, oh, there's a bridge here, or, oh, in the dark world, the gate doesn't exist. So I could, if I hold up my lamp, I could walk through this gate right here because there is no gate when I expose the dark world.
So, question first. I've heard this as well. Like, oh, like, you know, you hold up your lantern, you see a chest in the corner or whatever, and you're like,
yeah. Right,
so if I go through and, like, you go through this trail to get this chest and get some cool loot or whatever. How does that operate, though? Like, can I just hold my lantern up at any moment and, like, shift between the two? Or is it, like, I hold it up, I jump into the dark world, and now I gotta find, like, an exit point?
It's both. So what this dark world amounts to, like, 90% of the time, is you reach a dead end and you go, oh, maybe there's, like, a bridge here, or, like, I can walk through this gate. And you don't have to flip over into the dark world to access that. You could just hold up your lantern and that's fine.
Okay.
Now, you do end up in the dark world sometimes by choice, or if you get killed, you will end up in the dark world, and it's almost like, here's another chance to live. Yep. But it's cool, like, say you're fighting someone, and I say, I don't know, you're running through level, someone hits you and kills you and knocks you into the dark world. If you keep running around in the dark world, you'll find exit points, like a little, you know, little blue guy, and you run up to him, and you'll be like, exit the Umbral Realm, right? And when you do that, you're back in the light world, but then it's also like you have that second life, quote-unquote, so to speak, back. You know what I mean? Like, if you escape out of that dark world, well, if you get killed, now you're going to get sent back in the dark world. But once you're in the dark world, then you get knocked down, like, and, you know, your health bar is depleted, you're dead. And that's the end of the game. But it's cool, like, they do some, like, interesting stuff in it. Like, the boss I just beat, there is, like, a thing protecting him. So, like, if you're, like, hitting him, his health bar, like, immediately fills back up. And you're like, what the fuck? Well, you pull up your lamp. You see, like, there's, like, this little blue guy like floating, like tethered to the boss, and it's like, okay, I gotta flip to the fucking dark world, kill that thing, and now the boss's health bar won't keep refilling because he's not being protected anymore. But here I am in the fucking dark world. Shit. You know, so I gotta be more careful. So that's kind of like the big new idea. I think it doesn't add as much as like it maybe sounds like in theory, like, oh, well, there's two worlds on top of each other and there's different paths. And it's usually just like, you know, you're like, if you're dead end, you probably need to check the dark world.
It's really just like they've created like this neat mechanic for you to.
Yeah, it's cool.
Is it neat? It doesn't sound neat.
No, it's cool.
Like, thing when you die and you walk around in the dark world, that sounds cool. But like, just throwing it in as a mechanic, like you use this sometimes to move on, doesn't sound all that neat.
Yeah, it's not as interesting in the navigation of levels. I was trying to drive that point home. But they do other things with it, like I said, with the boss fight. That I think is kind of neat, and you using it as like, here's your extra chance. You know, like now you're like in real trouble. Like, yeah.
I mean. Yeah, because like sometimes you fight a boss in these games and like you just roll the wrong way or you overextend your hit and then it just like destroys you, and then like, you're pissed off because now you're dead. But if this is like knocking you into another world, like, all right, I'm not dead. Like, I could still carry on. It might be harder over here. It might be more enemies.
There's more enemies running around the boss and shit. Yeah, and when you get knocked into that, you'll have like half your health bar and the other half will be grayed out, and you can fill your health bar up by like getting hits in on the boss or whoever on anything.
Right.
But if you get hit while trying to fill up that gray part, all the gray goes away. So like you need to get your hits in. Don't panic type situation. The other idea is that you could place bonfires where you want to with like a limited consumable item type thing. So like, you know, it's like an item you'll find in the game. You'll have a certain, you know, maybe you'll have two or three of them on you, right? And that allows you to place a bonfire where you want. And I think this idea is fucking stupid. Like, and you get into arguments with people about it, and they're like, no, it's a cool idea because you can place it wherever you want. But it's like, no, you can't. You can only place it when you find like a bed of flowers on the ground, and then you have the opportunity to place that seed there to make
the bonfire. So they're still locked to a spot.
Yeah, and so
that's dumb.
So guess what? Just put a fucking bonfire there.
Right.
But, like, you know what I mean?
Like, if you're gonna let me create a save point anywhere, then let me create a save point anywhere. Because that could be a game-changing mechanic.
That could be something, yeah. That could be, but...
This just sounds like you're just... Now you have to have a consumable to have a save point when there could have just been a save point spot.
Yeah, like if you think that's a good spot to have a bonfire, yeah, just put one there. And it creates a tension because, like, you'll beat a boss and then there will be, like, a flower bed there and you're like, do I waste one of these, like, very limited seeds that I have to... And you'll do that sometimes. You'll be like, fuck this, dude. I need to fucking level up now. I'm walking around with 9,000 fucking souls. I need to level up a couple times, right? You do that and then you, like, walk 10 feet and turn around a corner and there's an actual bonfire. So it's really... annoying.
That's super annoying too. I could see how that would be super frustrating for you, because like you have this like super rare consumable and you're like, shit, like, all right, like they put one here, that's indicating to me I should probably build a bonfire, and then you leave and there's like another one around the corner.
Oh, yeah, dude, it is frustrating.
Yeah.
What makes it okay in the end is that there is a guy there's like a little hub, like, you know, area where you go to like level up, you know, your blacksmith and all that, right? There is a guy that sells those seeds. So ultimately, it's just a pain in the ass type thing. Cause like, you're never gonna, I never have these seeds. I end up using them. I'm always out of them. So I have to go farm for a minute, get the souls I need, because they're like 2,500, you know, souls to buy.
So they're not cheap either.
No. Oh, they're not like that is not as much for me anymore. But yeah, it's they're not cheap. But it, at the very least, I know I could do it, and I've had to do that a few times where I'm like, all right, like I've run through the level a couple times. I see that there's a spot right before the boss where I could place these. Like, I could place one. I'm like, I don't want to run through this level like every time I want to fight this boss because I know I'm gonna die like fucking 30 times. So. All right, go farm, go to one of my farming locations, get the souls, go back to the hub, buy a seed, go back, run the level again, and place my seed right before the boss. And it's just like, it's just a pain in the ass.
And the funniest thing... farm, then you're planting your seeds everywhere.
The funniest thing, though, again, I think this like could be a cool idea, like if it was like how Chris said, like you could place it anywhere. This is how I think it would be a cool idea. You could place a bonfire anywhere, but you can only have one bonfire at a time. So like, you could move your bonfire around. I think that would be neat. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you move your camp. Yeah.
Yeah. But the way it is, it's not cool. And what's even worse, which means I will not be playing New Game Plus this, is in New Game Plus, there's no bonfires. There's no actual bonfires in the game. You can only create them with the seed. And I'm just like, yeah.
Oh. You have to play through the entire game in one life. Is that basically what they're saying?
Kind of, yeah. Like, there's no permanent bonfires. Like, you could plant the seed. And by the way, the seed thing that you plant, you can only have one out there at a time. So you can't you can't be creating bonfires all throughout the game that are all over the place, and so you can fast travel around. So a New Game Plus. You will have a fast travel point to your hub and to whatever fucking seed bonfire you have out there. It sounds terrible. I won't be playing New Game Plus of this. But overall, like again, once I got past like the growing pains of like learning what I'm doing and getting used to the few new like control things, I think this is like a really solid take on Dark Souls. It's just one I can't recommend to anybody. And that is because, like, if you were a Dark Souls fan, I'd say, dude, check this out. You might like it. But I'm not going to tell any Dark Souls fan, I'm not going to tell anybody to get it because it is in a very bad state at the moment. So, like, while I think the game is solid, like, its technical performance right now is, like, unacceptable. Like, it's... bad, like really bad frame rate issues. Like there's something that happens where like the more you play and the more you warp around that sometimes it just goes bonkers. Like you're talking like not even like frames per second, like it's like a slideshow where so it's like unplayable. And it's weird because like quitting the game completely and coming back in will fix it, thank God. But it's just like I don't know what's going on. I don't know the technical side of the games. Something's going on, and they need to fix it very badly. Like it's terrible. It's inexcusable. Matchmaking is fucked. They had the game has crossplay. They had to turn it off the very first day the game came out. They've not turned it back on, and they haven't really said much about like what to expect when that's coming back. They've been pushing out a lot of patches for it, especially on PC, because that's where I think they're having the most problems. But I don't feel like there's enough communication on certain things, and yeah, like the matchmaking, like it's real hit or miss. Like most of the time, I am unable to find a random person, and it's cool like how they implemented it because like. You don't need an item like you would in a From Software game. Like you could just go to a bonfire and be like, start matchmaking, or summon friend, and like you could look at your friends list and invite a friend. But you know, when I go start matchmaking to find a random, it's like I've maybe hooked up with another player like 5 or 6 times, and that's you know I've tried many more times than 5 or 6 times to get health. Like I was stuck on a boss earlier tonight that you know I was trying to get help for, and I finally just had to like end up beating him myself. I had to like actually learn his pattern and get good, and I did. I got good, and I was like, you know, you feel good about yourself when you do it. But like I love co-op in these games, and this. has what would implement the implementation of co-op, and it just doesn't work most of the time. And there's all sorts of other stuff. Like, supposedly, maybe why a reason I can't find people in co-op, because people who end up helping in co-op sometimes get their level reduced by I've seen a bunch of reports of people being like, I was level 120 and then I went to go help my buddy and then afterwards I was level 60.
Oh Jesus.
And if that happened to me,
terrible.
If that happened to me, game's not gonna play it again. That's it. So maybe that's why I can't find people. So like they got a lot to iron out. Like now when they because it does seem like the devs are like really committed to like working on the game and fixing it, and hopefully they get the funding to keep doing that. You know, and this is a first time dev. Like, I want to give them some, you know, little slack. But like, I feel like they could get this game into a place where I would wholeheartedly recommend this to someone that like really loves Dark Souls, like 1 through 3, and would like to play a new one. You know, yeah. Is it like? Does it have? You know, even if everything is fixed, is it the level like of level design that From Software does? No, but there are levels that are really cool with lots of cool shortcuts. There's really cool boss ideas. Like it gets very close for a first time developer. They should be proud of what they did, but they just really got to get this in a playable state, like a much more playable state than it is. But even so, I'm near the end of the game. I'm in like the last quarter of the game. So, I liked it. Nice. I'll leave it at that. I don't, none of you guys like play Souls games, so thank you for humoring me on this. But yeah, it's cool. But you know, like say like Sean is listening to this. Like I'd say Sean or Walter, you know. If it comes to Game Pass, go for it. But yeah, if they end up fixing it, I think it's worth at least, you know, buying it on sale at some point.
Yeah, I mean, and I bet it will be on sale in like a month for Black Friday sales, and
yeah.
You probably get it for half price at that point. So,
but yeah, it's all dependent on them. Like, number one thing. Two things. Just the frame rate and the multiplayer. You really need to, like... You get that working, I'm team Lord of the Fallen. I'm fucking praising your game. As it is, I'm like, they did a really good job, but the game, like, probably needed more time in the oven.
Got it. And this is the second Lords of the Fallen game.
Yeah, it's something we maybe could have gotten at the top. Like, yeah, whoever made the original one in 2014 is not the one making this. This is a new studio, kind of like a full reboot for franchise that was never a franchise. I don't know.
Like, Lords of the Fallen was done by Deck 13, like almost a decade ago now. I didn't realize.
Yeah,
it was 2014. The same publisher, Cygames, I guess they own the IP. Deck 13's gone on to make the two Surge games, and they released a game called Atlas Fallen earlier this year, which I think bombed. But new developer, as Jeff said, Hex works on this one. So,
and I played some of the original Lords of the Fallen, and I'd say like this feels much higher quality, even with the technical issues, and it feels much closer to how, like, it just feels more right, if that makes sense. Like, this is a much closer approximation of Dark Souls than that game, which was also
trying to be Dark Souls.
Yeah, these are the two games that are like the most just trying to be Dark Souls. You know what I mean? Like, they're not doing any sort of spin on it. Like, you know, yeah, I mean, this one has like those new mechanics I discussed, but like, it really goes for the look, the feel, the weapons, the armor, just, you know, the atmosphere, the way the NPCs talk to you. Like, it just, all that is going for this is Dark Souls. And if they get that working, it's one I recommend to people that love that shit, you know.
All right. You play anything else this week, Jeff?
No, in order to get as far as I've gotten into that game, I've probably put like 50 hours in the last week into that
game. I figured as much. Yeah. You've been playing a lot of it, but Earl, I am going to assume you did not play much of anything
over the
last week.
Nope.
You were unable because of your current situation to join us for. Tony and I played Party Animals this week.
Woo!
That's a game.
It is a game.
Based on me?
Yes, no. It's based on you.
Although if you're drinking while playing it, you probably enjoyed it.
Do you get to jump in a fire?
Yeah.
Into a fire? I don't know. Into a river or into a chasm of infinite death. Into the ocean, you can jump into all of those things.
I'll do that on my next camping trip.
Jump on a trebuchet and get shot across the map.
Get to go into the unknown.
You know where you're going. It's just the other side of the map, which is a mirror image of your side of the map. So, you can play football on a weird course, like it's a weird, like U-shaped. Field, like geometrically U-shaped.
It was like the character shapes.
No, it's like there's the end zones are at the top of the hill, and then like the 50-yard line is in like in a valley. And the idea of and this I think is one of the first ones we played the other night was the ball is in the middle. It's teams of four and. Your team runs at the ball, the other team runs at the ball, and the first team to get the ball, you then try and carry it up the hill and get into the end zone. And you could throw the ball. It's basically rugby. I don't know. It's a football field, but it's really just rugby.
Yeah.
But you play as like these cute little animals.
And you can all play as different animals, which is super confusing. So we all kept choosing the same animal. Just so we would know who was on our team.
Yeah, and that was effective, I think. Except when it wasn't, when we would get confused as to
like, who am I? Which of these cute little animals am I? And like, if we'd played enough of the game and unlocked like some of the outfits, so we could all have been like a different bunny or a different llama or whatever the hell we were. That might have been helpful. But
yeah, instead we're just like a bunch of white bunnies or green lizards.
All utterly identical. There were a bunch of times where I'm like, why am I like, where did I go? I don't know what.
It's like, why is my guy not controlling right? It's because I'm looking at the wrong bunny.
I'm the one who's lying on the ground, who's been punched in the face, which is one of the most. I don't know. It's a really super amusing mechanic how you could like. Punch your opponents in the face, or you can like jump kick them, or like run up and punch them and knock them out so they lie on the ground for like a minute before they have to get up and can do stuff again. But if you're not like experienced with the game, you're not as good at that as the other people are, so you find yourself getting knocked out a lot.
Yeah, they're we were going up against people that had definitely been playing for the last 2 weeks. They're just like charging you, punching you in the face, grabbing the ball, running it in. And like, we didn't even know what happened in some cases. I think the first one we played was like electric soccer. So I don't know exactly what the thing was called, but it was basically Rocket League, where you're trying to get a ball into a goal. And a lot of the sports ones are that it's like there's a ball in the middle, you charge at the ball, you got to get it into a goal or an end zone to get the points.
The cool thing about that one is if two people grab the ball at the same time, it like lights up and like launches this electrical pulse that zaps everybody, like blows them all around the field. People go flying. It's fun.
So like it's a good defensive move to like. Like if they're going to get close to you grab onto the ball too, because then it'll shock everybody and explode and get the ball away from your goal. But it also does knock everybody out.
I did notice, though, if two people from the same team grab the ball at the same time, the same thing happens.
Yeah, if it's two people at all have it, right? So it's... And it gives you a little bit of a warning. It's not like... Like, you have to hold on to it with the other person for a bit. It doesn't explode immediately.
Let go.
I guess, like probably should explain that the little animals all control, like, they're drunk.
Yes.
We've all been there. You don't judge them.
They all kind of control, like, the beans from Fall Guys. Yeah.
I've heard that.
But in Fall Guys, it's, you know, it's basically a platformer. Like, you're not, you can't really attack. And like this, you do have, like, arms and legs, and you can throw those punches, as Tony said. But the physics, like, when you throw a punch, like, you throw a punch. Like,
you're throwing, like, your whole body, and it's, like,
you're stepping into it. So when you miss, like, you wildly go out of control. I do wish that was a little bit tighter, because that was frustrating, especially against people that have just figured out the physics. That
You're like, they've drop kicked your entire team as soon as
this is a good selection of mini games, though. They're all basically the same concept. Okay. Like,
well, no, because there's the ones where you're grabbing a ball and trying to score, and then the other ones where you're trying to, like, they're all like King of the Hill variants.
Yeah, like, they're all concepts, you know. Like, yeah.
the trebuchet one
that was cool. Different.
I'd never played anything like that. It's basically you have the two teams on either side of a chasm, and the game is giving you, like, bombs that you load onto this trebuchet and can shoot across the chasm. And as they explode, you do, like, damage to the other side, and the team that gets to zero first loses. But you can also shoot your teammates over on the trebuchet. So, like, you have people, like, flying back and forth to get in on the other side and, like, start punching people in the face as they're trying to load bombs onto the trebuchet. I think that might have been my favorite mode. That one was a lot of fun.
That one was really fun. Like, and it's,
so when you get shot over there, you're mainly just trying to prevent people from loading theirs.
Yeah, because you're over there, you can't do anything else. You're just like, all right, well, I guess I'm fighting now. Cool, until you fall into the chasm and then, you know, respawn on the other side.
That one was fun. Like, and also, like, you know, we weren't great at controls, but I think at that point we had kind of figured out, all right, this is how you pick things up, this is how you grab things. So we knew how to, like, put stuff onto the trebuchet and you know, fire it across. The first thing I did was we loaded it up. Walt fell into the basket for the trebuchet, couldn't get out, and I shot him across there. On purpose. Like, goodbye, Walt. You're over there now. It's fun, though. Like, it's like you do goofy things like that, and there is strategy to it, as Tony said. Like, you're over there, you can grab their bombs, and they could be loading them into their trebuchet. You can be grabbing them out of there and throwing them into the river. You could just be punching people on their side, and that's annoying, because, like, you're trying to pick up stuff and move it into your basket to shoot across, and... So I agree with you, Tony. That was the one I had the most fun with, because the other ones really were just King of the Hill or Rocket League. Like, yeah. It's just, and they're fun, but
yeah,
like, this one had, there was, like, some strategy to it, and there was, you knew how to win too. I think that was outside of the sports ones. Yeah. Like, I don't really know what we're doing here.
Yeah, the sports ones, it doesn't really explain what's going on. How many times you have to score to win, what scoring, like, you have to just figure that out as you go along. The King of the Hill ones, though, were good. I think one of the cool things about the King of the Hill is if you get knocked out, you then get to sit and watch, and you can, like, throw bombs or fish. Yeah, like, you can shoot stuff into the battle that's going on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that old Bomberman thing where, like, if you got knocked out, you sometimes could be on the edge to dick people over.
or help your team. Like if your team is still
that too.
So, somebody's in trouble and you're like, oh, you whack the guy hitting him with a fish.
And so like there was one, we were on a submarine, and so like the submarine is the hill that you're on. And as time goes on, the submarine is sinking, like it's submerging into the water. So you are trying to be the last one standing. So you're trying to get to the top of the sub. And you actually can, you know, if you get knocked out, you can hit people and knock them off of the top, eliminating them. I think Walt did that at one point. Tony and I were hanging on for dear life, and Walt threw a fish and hit the guy that was above us and knocked him off, and we actually won.
We all lived, and he died. Ha ha.
So you can help your team, but yeah, mostly it's just you're just throwing shit to be a dick. So
it has its own rewards.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
There's a ton of modes. We didn't get to try all of them. I think we played seven. We played a couple times. I think we played the Electric Rocket League one like multiple times. I think we played football a couple times. There was one that was on a bridge, and that one's neat because the planks drop off. So it's like on a rope bridge, and the planks are dropping off the edge, making the battlefield smaller. So you're trying to knock people off of the rope bridge anyway. And I guess that, as I saw this with you, Tony, I had already died, but the bridge, one side of the rope just like collapsed, so it went, the play field went vertical.
Yes, and you're like hanging arm.
Yeah.
As it's like moving, you're like, ah.
And at that point, you're just trying to like hold on while the people
I'll try
that
to
are
also
not
punch
in it.
The enemy.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, right, because you can't punch while you're holding.
Absolutely, you can't.
Yeah, it's neat. I don't know. I would probably play it again with you guys.
I would play more of it. It's amusing. It's fun. It's not the best thing in the world, but you know, it's good.
Yeah, it is. It's mindless enough that like you can just jump in and play, and like the matches are over fairly quickly. I don't think they didn't last more than 5 minutes at a pop. So. Like, oh, we're getting our ass kicked, but you're quickly into another match. And because it's so random, like, even if you got your ass kicked in the previous one, you may get one where you just get a little bit lucky and can pick up a frying pan and bash some people off the hill and win easily. Good time. Tony, you played more Lamplighters League. Not much, though, I don't think, from where we were last week, but it seems like you kind of...
I hadn't played any of it last week.
Okay. And so you were looking at it, you were looking to play it, and...
Yep, and I finally got into it, and God, was I disappointed. So...
No.
Basic principle is this, you have this squad-based game where you do stuff in missions, and... So you played a billion games like this, you know, XCOM and whatever. It ends up being very sneak-based. So a lot of the missions are break your way into this place, like sneak your way in, try to ambush people, like take them off guard. Each one of your characters is like of a class. There's like a saboteur class that carries like two pistols and can like throw this little mine that blows up. There's a brawler class that can hit people really hard with their fists and doesn't actually carry a gun. And there's like a sneaking class that can like take out people in one stealthy hit and hide in plain sight and that kind of stuff. So there's several classes. They're all very different. And you're trying to move them around this field. Now, the game occurs in both real time and it occurs in a turn-based mode. If you're trying, and in this kind of sneaky game, most of the time you're trying to set up ambushes, because in most of the combat situations, you're at a disadvantage, so you have to like position your people carefully and figure all that out. The way they've built the turn-based versus the real-time makes that utterly and completely impossible. So you, if you're moving around in the real time, you have your three people. They can be put in a group. If they're in a group, you can figure out where the first person goes and the other two people will follow. The trouble is, like, say you send the first person to hide behind cover. The other two idiots will stand behind you and just stand out in plain sight get caught and dump you into the turn-based mode, ruining your ambush. So that's, you can ungroup bad. Them, right? So you can move one at a time.
Okay.
The trouble is, if you ungroup your people, if you move them too far from each other, you can only control one of them at a time. So the other two are stuck until the one you're controlling is moved close enough so that you can move the other two around. There is no way to click off of the one you happen to be moving around and get to the other two. Unless you switch to the turn-based mode. But the turn-based mode, when you're walking through, like, enemies have, like, this huge line of sight. Like, you can't sneak around.
So you need it in real time to do the sneaking.
Yes.
But
they've made the control between the three characters so awkward and so impossible that you really can't do it. The other thing is, occasionally when you're in the turn-based mode, it will just dump you right back to the real-time mode. I don't know why. So you end up in this game where you're supposed to be, like, you know, doing these really carefully conceived sneaks, like trying to maneuver into an ambush with a control scheme that makes that utterly impossible. It kind of, like, there are some, like, things about the game that are cool. The aesthetic is cool. It's like these 1920s spy type thing going on, which seems really interesting. All of the characters have this fun banter, but it's ruined by the fact that the game to actually play sucks so hard. So it's hard. Like, I dragged myself through the tutorial. I dragged myself for the first couple of missions. It's not worth playing. It's not worth playing at all.
I still have it installed. I might give it a shot when I get back, but I don't know. There's so many other things to play that it's like,
yeah.
Do I spend time on like a low tier game that's not executing well when we have Spider-Man and Mario to play?
Right, and the reviews have not been kind. Not been kind at all. Like, it's not. Like, I had to look. I'm like, I can't. I must be doing something wrong. Like, and then I started looking at the reviews. I'm like, oh, everybody else hates this too. Never mind.
But I think the thing that is most disappointing to me is that you said it's like an XCOM type game. And like, I like XCOM, but I was kind of looking more like a narrative adventure game. Yeah, with tactical combat, but like, it's from what I hear is like it's very much like XCOM, where you're picking missions, trying to lower the threat level of things, and you got, I guess you got to like recruit new operatives, yeah, or whatever. So.
Yeah, there's like this whole thing where this group of evil people is trying to get to this tower that will destroy the world, and so you're going on these missions to try to slow that down, and you recruit people to your team to, you know, help you do that.
Yeah, and one of the things I heard from Jeff introduced me to this reviewer on YouTube, Mortismal. He reviews games after 100%, and he said that like almost half of them, I guess, are in the back half of the game that you unlock these operatives. So it's,
well, that's like, silly.
Yeah, but you level up as you use them. So by the time you get these guys, you don't want to use them because they're not strong enough to actually join your party. So it's like, seems really dumb that you would put it that way. And it's not like XCOM where it's like, oh, you know, I can just buy, I can just like recruit from the menu these guys and I'll name them. And that's the emotional hook for XCOM. It's like,
yeah,
you recruit, you know, all right, I got like a sniper.
Jeff out there. Jeff right. is out there.
Jeff's cool. out there.
Jeff is always like my XCOM, like close in shotgunner person.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm out there.
You are.
Yes, yes, that you are.
You like recruit Jeff, but you're like, you want to keep Jeff alive because right. you've named your shotgunner Jeff and you've modeled him after somebody that you know. As opposed to these, where it's your named characters, they have named personalities, but you're not getting them until later in the game. So it's like a weird way of doing one of those. It's a shame. I like Harebrained Studios. Just seems like the big miss here.
Yeah. And it's annoying because there are other games that came out this year that have that same real-time turn-based dichotomy with the sneaking. I'm speaking specifically about Jagged Alliance 3, which did it really well.
I mean, you played Jagged Alliance 3. Miasma Chronicles is out there too. Very yep. similar concept as well. Like, it just seems like other people are doing this better.
Yes, and with games that came out like months ago. So why didn't you pay attention to what they did and follow that? And they
still yeah. And knowing that Paradox and Harebrained were at odds.
Yeah, it kind of makes more sense, right?
Yeah. It's like they're just, all right, we're doing this because you contracted us to do a game. And Paradox is keeping Lamplighters League, like they keep that IP. Harebrained's moving on without it. So that was very much a Paradox wanted this.
Chris, what was the reviewer you said that like reviewed the game at 100% or whatever?
Mortismal? Mortismal yes. Gaming?
Yes. I really like that channel. Like, I really like that.
Yeah.
It's very useful if you want, because like these reviewers, the professional ones, like they rush that out and like sometimes they don't know what they're talking about. Like, I think a good example would be like Pikmin, like the new Pikmin. Like, if you roll credits on that game and you write a review, like you've missed literally half the game. You know, and that's, I really like that channel because whether I agree or disagree is not really important. I know that the info that that guy is giving me is like complete. Like, they know what they're talking about. Like, whether I agree is, again, secondary.
Yeah, they've literally done everything in the game. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, the flip side of that, and you know, it's not a good system. Part of the reason people do that is like, you get a game like a week before it comes out, and reviews tend to be more worth this after the fact. Even though we also live in a society now where, like, I mean, I don't think any of us were going to be like, oh no, Spider-Man didn't get great reviews, we're not going to get it anymore. Or Mario.
The funny thing is, like, that channel's reviews are pretty timely. Like, if they need to take, you know, a little more time after the game comes out to review it, they will, but it's like, you'll get like a Starfield review within a week. It's like, okay, I don't know how you did that, but
I mean, he does get some stuff for review early.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, but some of the professionals, yeah. You know.
So, but yeah, you're 100% right. Like, he's able to keep, like, sometimes they're way out, like, right? Like, he did an Aliens Dark Descent review, and that came out like 2 months after that game came out.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, something like this, right? Lamplighters League just came out. He had a review up within the week. And it is useful. Like you said, it's not necessarily like whether you care for his opinion, but you know that everything he's saying, he's experienced. So you can be like, yeah, I like that mechanic, even though he doesn't. Like, yeah, this thing that he's saying.
He has his facts about a game down, and a lot of professional reviews do not. And I also think, like, his reviews are pretty good. The thing about him, though, is, like, strap in. It's going to be like a half hour.
Yeah. His reviews
are everything. Short.
Yeah. That, like, I think his Starfield review was an hour long.
But it's like, if you really wanted to know what the game is, like, you're getting way more out of that than you are out of like an 8-minute IGN review that is just very formulaic. And it's like the new Super Mario Wonder review they did. Like, they spent a minute on the story. Who gives a shit? And that's out of a, you know,
a 4-minute review.
It was like a 10, I think, I don't know. It was marked 4. But again, it's like, I don't know. I find that guy, I forgot what game it was that I discovered him. I was immediately like, oh, I'm subscribing to this channel. Like, this guy is going to give you the lowdown on the fucking big RPGs in a way that most everybody won't. So,
yeah, anyways. I mean, even most people are not playing games to 100%.
Yeah.
I am not. But it is neat, like, that. You know, he was one of the reasons I tried Lies of P. I know I won't like most of that game, but, like, you know, some of the stuff he says, like, I just want to see this in action.
Yeah, it is. The game is very well made for what it is. You know, it's just, I prefer the Dark Souls shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Tony, you play anything else besides,
I played a lot of Assassin's Creed.
Mirage, yes.
Woo! Yeah.
I am super, super enjoying this game. So it really gives you a lot of nostalgia for the original Assassin's Creed. It's not just like the setting, it like has, like callbacks. Do you remember the original Assassin's Dens?
Yeah.
When they were in those little, like, you had to like climb over and into them.
Yeah, that's how they are. Like wells almost.
Yeah. So that's how they are in this game too. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then the first time you assassinate somebody and the bell starts ringing and you have to fucking run because everybody in the city is after you. You haven't had that in Assassin's Creed game in a long time because like the last couple games haven't been about assassinating people.
Yeah, they've really just been about slaughtering everybody.
The title does not fit anymore.
Well, yeah, because most of them that were like the two last games have had like field battles where you're like leading troops in and like there's hundreds of combatants like slaughtering each other. This game reaches back to like the original where you're like there's this thing going on in this area and you need to figure out what's going on and who's causing it. And like doing your little investigation steps to find the person that needs to die.
Follow this person then, around.
And then figuring out like, okay, this person needs to die. How do I get them out? And once they're out, like what's the best approach to get to actually kill them? Which I kind of feel like the first couple games did. And then they slowly got more far and farther away from that. Now you're back to this like state of I'm an assassin. My job is to kill people to make the world better, and you're doing that again. And it's a lot of fun. It's really cool, but it has like all of, like the gameplay elements they've added over the years to make like playing the game more fun. Like there is an open world and there is stuff to do, but it's not like as overwhelmingly large as the last couple games have been. It's also not an RPG. Like you're not like leveling yourself up so that you can get into the next area. You're doing missions to kill people. That's what the game is about. You could never level yourself up, but you could still continue to kill people. You will get like better equipment and stuff as the game goes on, but you don't have like a level. Like you're not going to look over and see like, oh, that enemy is level 55 and I'm only level 35, so I can't fight them. Like that is not in this game.
And from what I understand, right, it's Bassim, right, or Bassim. Or...
It's Bassim from he was a character in like your camp, not camp. I forget what it was. Whatever it was in Assassin's Creed Valhalla, like your
little
home.
Town.
Yeah. He was there, but
he's not strong though, right? Like he's not Ivor. Like he has to be sneaky because he can be overwhelmed pretty quickly.
Yes, he is not. And the game it becomes pretty clear pretty quickly that, like, if you're going to go into battle and you're going to fight, like, five or six guys at a time, you're going to die. Because, like, you can't, like, if you're dodging somebody, guess what? Somebody else can hit you while you're doing that. So the whole, like, oh, I hit the insta-kill button, and so I'm insta-killing this guy, and I'm invincible, is not the case. If you're, like, insta-killing somebody, somebody else can hit you while you're doing that. So, like, you have to be careful to, like, choose your spots and choose your fights. Because if you end up in the wrong spot, you'll die. It's really like, but it's not so sneaky that you're, like, worried about, like, concealment all the time. Or, like, the sneaking elements are good enough that you feel like you can stay in the shadows and, like, strike out when you want to. You're not going to, like, get caught in situations where you accidentally get seen or whatever it happens to be. I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. If you missed, like, that element from the first couple games where you're like, I want to go out and kill people to make the world better, that's kind of what this is.
I do. I've been, like, it's been quite some time since one of these two that, you know, where it's been an actual assassination game.
What was the last one you would say? 3 or 2?
Ooh, like truly to this style that Tony is explaining, maybe Brotherhood. Because even 3, you were starting to get away from, like, you were assassinating people, but it was starting to get to more of that open
world. 3 was when, like, you could, like, bring out your hatchet and, like, kill an entire company of soldiers that you happen to meet in the forest. Like, Last of the Mohican style.
But yeah, like Brotherhood and Revelations, Ezio was not, like, he could fight, like, he had a sword and but if you had too many people on you, like, you could get overwhelmed pretty easily.
Yeah, once you got to the last Ezio game, then it was like, okay, Ezio's kind of a superhero now. But those first couple games.
So over a decade, Brotherhood was 2010.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I found those original games so boring.
This is a much better game. I also have to say it's utterly beautiful. Like, it is so attractive. It's probably the most attractive game I've played so far this year.
I mean, in theory, I would like it. Like, I love Hitman. I don't know how different that is. Like, it sounds similar, right? Like,
yeah.
Figuring out how to kill somebody. Like, I don't know. Maybe these games are on sale. That's a good thing.
So. I do wonder, Jeff, if, like, you know, those older games were way more rigid. Like, just because of system limitations, there were things you couldn't do. So I wonder if, you know, they've improved it a bit. So maybe it wouldn't be as boring for you this go round.
I remember in the original game, which I loved, I had so much fun in it, but there was one part of it where you had to assassinate this, like, guy who was on a ship. And because of the system limitations, there was no swimming in the game. And you had to jump from like pylon to pylon to get to the ship. And every time you fell into the water, you died. And in the current game, like, with the, like, the free flow movement, like, you can basically move through any terrain, like, really quickly without really having to think about it. In that game, you had to, like, hop from thing to thing, and I died so many times. I got so angry, I almost quit at the end. Because that was, like, one of, like, the, it was, like, I think there were 9 assassinations in the game, and that was, like, the 7th or 8th one. And I was, like, I can't do this anymore. I've died too many times. I'm going to give up. I did finish it. I did eventually get to the end, but, wow, it was so frustrating.
One of those games where it's, like, you get frustrated. You're, like, I'm gonna uninstall or pull the disc out, and, like, you just back away. You come back
the next day. You come back the next day, and you're, like, oh, I did it.
I have been there over this last week.
Well, I'm glad that that Mirage is quite good. I'm looking forward to playing that at some point. It's so busy right now with games.
I know, it's insane. Like, there's part of me that, like, wants to get Mario, but I'm like, dude, you've got too much on your plate. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to touch Spider-Man for a couple of days, and I got it installed.
Yeah, it's like, I think we gotta finish some of the stuff that we have.
Because the thing, like, if I walk away from this Dark Souls ripoff, like, it's, am I gonna go back? Like, I feel like that's one of those things. Like, that's the type of game you have to like stick to it to get through it. You know.
Oh, absolutely! Like, you don't want to walk away from that for too long.
No, you want to be relearning how to play the game in the last third when you're running into the worst shit. But Spider-Man, like, again, it's just going to be so hard for me to juggle everything. I think I'm just going to at least hold off on Mario. I can't wait till we're done with the show and I send you guys a picture of me downloading Mario.
We would not be surprised, so.
It's a good week. It's a good week for games, guys. Like, the last...
It is. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It's been very good for games.
Can you imagine if it was like this all the time? Which is like, I don't know.
Oh, guys, I was really proud of myself, though. I did roll the credits in Starfield before I started Assassin's Creed.
Yeah!
So, did you dig the story at the end? I mean, I know you were close.
I like the story. Like, the main thing, getting to the end was cool. I also did put a lot of points into... the convincing skill. I forget the persuasion.
Persuasion. Skip the last boss fight.
Yes, I did indeed skip the last boss fight because I'm assuming you sided with the hunter then too.
No, hold on. What were the two choices? Hunter or
an emissary?
The hunter was the good guy, right?
The hunter was the one who liked to kill people.
Yeah, so, yeah, good guy.
And the emissary was the one who, like, wanted to hide all the items and have, like, make sure that people who were, like, good were making decisions for them. The hunter wanted people to, like, whoever was strongest to seize them.
I ultimately, like, internally kind of sided with the hunter because I was like, who gets to decide who controls this?
Exactly. Right? That was exactly what I was thinking, too.
But I knew that was the bad guy choice, so I chose the good guy.
Oh, no, I went with the hunter. I don't like the idea of people deciding these, you know, for other people. Like, that's going to lead to corruption and whatever it should be. But so, like, I did side with the hunter.
But, you know, that guy's like an agent of chaos and... It was like, but like, it was one of those like well-written villain quote unquote characters where you're like, I get where he's coming from. And like, I kind of agree just for the reason you just said. It's like, yeah, maybe we think we're like good at choosing who gets to do this, but like, who are we to say? Maybe we're the bad, you know?
And those are the best villains, right? They're the ones that are actually doing something that they believe is right and maybe can even be seen as right.
That's what I dug about it. And it was like, again, it's in a kind of tired narrative trope at this point, but like, I thought they did something neat with it there with that.
Yeah. Like, did it need the alternate, the what am I looking for? The multiverse.
Yeah.
The multiverse. Do you need that? Maybe not. Although I did save, the pirate quest line. Like, I haven't done it at all. So I want to do that in the new universe. And I did mess around a little in the new one that I started just to see what it was like. And one of the cool things I noticed was there were, like, Starborn dialogue options. Because you knew, like, if somebody was concealing something, you knew what they were concealing and you knew what they were going to say. And you could, like, interject it into the conversation.
But they would also just write it into the normal conversations too. They'd be like, "Oh, you know, you knew a different version of me. Like, you know, I don't know you." Like, people will say stuff like that to you. I thought that's cool.
Yeah,
but I just don't feel that racing to that new game plus was like worth it because.
Yeah, no, I and in fact, I think it makes it less worth it because like I had this whole like I don't know how many hours I spent, maybe 50 or 60 in this universe before I moved on. So like, yeah. I did all these quests. I have all these people I've met. Now I get to like re-experience all that over again and see like what's different, what's changed. That's kind of fun for me.
Did you skip story again though, or did you say I want
to play? I elected to do the story again.
Okay.
Because you can elect to skip it, and I was like, let's see what happens.
Okay.
So the other thing is, you still get like experience points for finishing the quests. So
true.
More quests make more experience. So.
I had done that once, and I was like, I skipped so much of the interesting like side stuff because people told me.
Yeah.
Reviewers told me for reasons I still don't understand that, what you want to do is just do the main quest and then do everything else in New Game Plus. I'm like, I still don't understand why.
Which is sad because the main quest is good, but like those side stories are all so much fun.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm glad you enjoyed that. Finished that off. I have not finished it off yet. So.
I'll be going back to it at some point. But there's too many games coming out now. Who knows what that will be?
Yeah.
I mean, the good thing is with that, right, is like you, when you return, you're kind of fresh starting because of the multiverse thing. So.
And you know how to play. Not like it. Bethesda RPG is not hard to figure out. So.
They all kind of play the same. What was that, Earl?
I still need to try that game, don't I?
Yeah,
You should get in on that one because that one was pretty cool.
I think at some point we do need to kind of make a recommend list for some stuff that we need to try out before the end of the year, if possible, or before we do our January episodes for Game of the Year. I think. We got a little bit of time, and there's still a few releases to come out before then. But on my end, played more Forza. That game's still really good. I like the multiplayer stuff that they've added. That does it penalizes people for being assholes.
Yeah. People should be penalized like that in real life.
We're trying.
We're slowly, but sometimes we are getting some. I got a plea deal today on one of those.
Yeah.
But yeah, in this, notoriously, when you play online racing games with other people, it becomes bumper cars. And both Gran Turismo and Forza have found a way to kind of disincentivize people for doing that, like hitting the first turn and just ramming somebody as hard as they can so they can bounce off and move forward. The game now gives you penalties if you purposely hit somebody. I'm not sure how the game indicates whether you purposely hit somebody.
Well, they know.
It seems like it because, like, I have bumped into people and not gotten a penalty, whereas, like, other people have slammed into me and they've been disqualified.
Like, just disqualified?
Yeah, they will eliminate you from the game, like, depending upon the severity of it. And I like that because it does, it makes the race more fair. I'm still not good enough that like I'm ever going to win a bunch of races. The best I've done is a third place finish, which is the best I've ever done. I've been playing Forza for 15 years. That's the best online finish I've ever had. And I think some of it is that like they've disincentivized being an asshole because they basically told you, if you're an asshole, we're going to eliminate you from the game. And the other side is like you know there's always those behind the scenes ratings that like help for matchmaking. So there's a skill rating and a safety rating. And if you drive like an asshole, your safety rating will go down and you'll only be paired with assholes.
They all get fucking herded together into their own little pen.
Yep. And awesome. to up your safety rating, you have to drive safe. Like you can't be,
those people work their way out of the fucking penalty box.
Yeah, they'd have to, or else they're just like with the people that are ramming them all the time.
Awesome, that is so hilarious.
So I do like that. I like that they finally implemented something there. Like, I don't know how much more multiplayer I'm gonna play, but I feel that like for people that like that, and this is a very specific style of racing, right? It's track racing, it's real cars, it's not Forza Horizon, like it's not. They're not quick races. These take a little bit of time to get through. And they're a little more serious than like a Forza Horizon type race. So when you're putting in 15, 20 minutes into a race, you don't want some guy like ramming you and taking you out of it completely early on. You want to feel like at least you're trying to compete. And I think that the new system does that well. And I understand that Gran Turismo 7 also has something similar. I'm not sure if it works quite as well, but they both finally found a way to allow the people that are playing these games and want to play them seriously that they can do that without the bumper car mentality that some people bring to it. But other than that, it's a Forza game. Like, it's a Forza Motorsport game, so if you are not into track racing, you are not into, upgrading your cars and doing circuit races, I don't think this is not doing anything new for you. So, like, if you're like, I like Horizon, and that's, like, the type of racing you like, this isn't it. Like,
okay, I will be opting out. All right.
Yeah, like, it doesn't have, like, the fun side quest stuff. Like, it is track racing, like...
I love racing games, but yeah, I can't do this.
And I think that's perfectly fine.
There'll be a new Horizon.
Yeah, there'll be a Horizon coming at some point, and that'll give you like what I think is great about Horizon is that it is the mechanics of motorsport. So the car handling is great in it. It's all of that, but then they add in like the arcade layer on top of it, so it's way more fun, way less serious, and it gives you this giant open world to explore. And like you're going finding barn finds and doing super jumps, and none of that stuff is happening in this.
Just make those games.
But there's a market for both, right? Like,
and yes.
There is like the motorsport will do great. Gran Turismo 7, which is another sim type racer, did excellent for on the PlayStation side. And Horizon will do great when that comes out. They're just different styles of racing. I for you guys, I would not recommend motorsport. Like, I think you would play it and be like, yeah, this is very, it's very pretty, it controls well, but I'm bored after the first race. Like, that would be my guess is how you would approach that.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's where we're at. I'm hoping Earl, you get all your stuff set up. Maybe you can play Party Animals with us this week.
Perhaps.
I assume you're going to be playing Mario and sometime this week.
Yes, I mean, if nothing else, at least that's a handheld.
Yeah.
So, Earl, you did not get Sonic? You're not a true Sonic fan? You just fucking going straight to Mario?
If Sonic were made by Nintendo, Earl would be all over it.
I mean, I don't know how I'm going to be guilted. I don't think I've ever hidden that I'm a bigger Mario fan than Sonic fan here. That doesn't mean I won't get Sonic. It's just I've not gotten anything this week. Mario I paid for because I already had the voucher.
That makes sense. I will try Sonic, Jeff, when it hits that price point you said it should be.
Do you like the 16-bit Sonics?
I do.
Yeah, you'll like it.
I like think that. I like Generations. That was like a mix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I would put that in a 3D category because even when it was 2D, it's.
I like Mania.
Yeah, I think everyone liked Mania, but yeah, like I think if you like, it's a weird thing where it's like, I don't know. Did you ever get the new one, like the Sonic?
I did not get Frontiers yet. I have it. Like I have it on my wish list, and every once in a while.
It goes on sale.
Yeah, it's for, like
cheap.
Should I get it this week? And it's like, I'm still playing something else.
So like that one is one. That's one where I'm like, I could see you going either way on it. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's really fun just to fuck around in that game. Like, I think it's an awesome game. But like, that one, this is like a known quantity. This new one, like, there's nothing really to say about it. It's like, do you like 2D Sonic? Then you'll probably like it. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jeff's going to continue to play Sonic. Earl will play Mario. I don't know if you're going to get to any Spider-Man.
We'll see how much Assassin's Creed I get through. Because it is short. It's not like the infinite Assassin's Creed like the other ones.
That's also a great plus sign for
it's
Mirage.
A bonus, right? I don't have to put like 60 hours into this to get to the end.
Like the fact that it's, you know, 20-25 hours is amazing. Makes
and
me
only
really
costs $50.
Excited. Yeah. Also 20-25 hours though is Spider-Man. So
you know what's gonna happen is by next week I'll have beaten all the big games for the year and I'm gonna be going, that sucks. Like, why were they all in the same week? And I still somehow covered them all. Like, I'm just gonna, blow my load.
I mean, you got Alan Wake.
Yeah,
that's still coming. You're gonna play that, right?
I feel bad for it because exactly what everybody feared would happen. Because I keep on forgetting that game's out soon.
Did you just say you're not gonna play it, Jeff?
I mean, I guess I'll play it because it'll be free, right? So.
I thought you would. It will be free. I don't think it is. I don't think it's hitting a Game Pass.
You don't?
I don't think it is.
It's not a Microsoft game?
No.
No, no. Remedy. Oh, Remedy no. Is Epic's actually publishing the game.
No, I have no interest.
Oh.
Really? I like the first one. Yeah, I like the first one, but no.
I'm in on Alan Wake too, but I don't know if I'll get it right away because. As Earl said, there's so much other stuff out there, and it's gonna get forgotten.
Yeah,
I might just forget about it for 3 weeks and see if it goes on sale for Black Friday.
I just love how you can like put all these games out within 1 week, and I could still somehow binge them all. Like, I'm gonna end up playing through all these games within like the next 2 weeks. I know
that's true. You'd be like, "What happened? Why did they go?" Then you can go back to Starfield.
I guess something, yeah. Then I can start like replaying through them in a more like relaxed.
You got new Call of Duty in a month, Jeff.
Yeah, I'll probably get that too. Then probably.
You can get wrapped up in that for the end of the year.
Sure.
All right. Well, we will be back next week. Mario, Spider-Man, maybe more Sonic. Who knows? A bunch of other stuff, Assassin's Creed.
When is Call of
Duty? I'll tell you, Lords of the Fallen is the worst game I've ever played.
When is Call of Duty out?
November 12th?
Oh, okay. So we have.
It's always like. Yeah. Is it 12th?
It's the 10th.
No, that was close. Pick the number that it has been in the past.
November 4th.
It's normally like the second week though, right? Like
that's not it's always the first week of November. When is it?
Earl said the 10th.
Okay.
It's the second Friday.
Yeah. Which is also weird. I mean, I guess not weird, because that's Veterans Day. I guess that kind of makes sense for Call of Duty.
What is the new one? What is it?
Modern Warfare 3-2.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Modern Warfare 3 again.
But not
really. I don't know, Modern man. Warfare 3. I've liked this series a lot for like the last 5, 6, 7 years, if not almost a decade. Like I think they like always nail it. Like I'm so uncritical of it now. I don't know.
Jeff's finally come around. He's like, nah, you know what? Call of Duty actually good. Like
I think they've been like they've reached a level of consistency. Like they've always had that a little bit. There's like some here and there, like Ghosts, I thought it sucked my balls, but that's
Black Ops 4.
Yeah, Black Ops 4 is the one that's like no campaign, right? Like,
yeah, it was just the multiplayer.
But like, I thought the campaign last year was a fucking blast, and I thought like the multiplayer was awesome with some really cool levels. Like,
I think they've done really good since Modern Warfare again.
Yeah,
in 2019, yeah. It's been their single player and multiplayer has been very strong.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to heap praise on that series, but like, yeah, they're like McDonald's, man. They're fucking solid. They're consistent. You know what you're getting. It's gonna be fucking fun. Like,
it is interesting that and the one that people, I guess, didn't love was Vanguard out of the last four.
I really loved that one.
Okay, so like you
I'm one of the only, I know that. Yeah.
Sledgehammer did that one, and they're doing this one. So
interesting.
Infinity Ward did Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2. And Sledgehammer's doing Modern Warfare 3.
The thing is, though, is like they always have all the other studios. Like Raven will work on it. And
oh yeah,
et cetera. So it's so huge. Like they put all their studios on these games. That's why what you guys said was Activision putting out. Like they're putting all their studios on fucking these games, basically to get them out every year.
Yeah, I'm sure Toys for Bob is working on this.
Yeah, right? Toys for Bob. I want a Toys for Bob led Call of Duty, please.
Who knows? Phil Spencer might allow him to do it. They're really passionate about it.
Oh boy!
All right, we'll be back next week with all of that and more. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.